Now on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville, it's time for the only area radio show devoted exclusively to football. That is to say, soccer.
Local MLS, Premier League, and international.
It's Blokes on the Bench, and you can reach us at 434-284-9470 or at facebook.com/blokesonthebench. Now here's your host, Andy Richardson.
All right, Charlottesville, welcome along to another edition of Blokes on the Bench. We're joined, a very special guest today, Byram, the manager from Seville FC, who played their inaugural game yesterday. So welcome along to the show.
Thank you, sir.
We also, if everyone else wants to introduce themselves.
Alex.
Mark. Steve.
And Steve is the Arsenal fan, and he's back in the show. So let's start with Seville FC. Yesterday was the inaugural game, 2 p.m. kickoff. I mean, I was lucky enough to be up in this press box with Daniel Rothnam, and watching the game. I mean, it was a really good game of football. Explain a little bit about what you felt about the game, especially the inaugural game. What were your feelings on it?
I mean, I saw the guys at play and coming out of the locker room. You know, it was a little bit nerve wracking for them,
right? Right.
And I mean, for me too. I'm not gonna lie, but. And when we start a game in the first 5 minutes and we had a goal, and after that I really started, you know, guys are starting coming around, right, as a team, right, and play. It was a great game. I mean, I think the Seville FC have a great future, and I think we are in the right direction.
Right. I mean, those front three, Mosa, Airy, and Palma.
Yeah.
And Palma got the first goal.
Yeah.
First goal in the league as well. So
that's one of the things we talked about before we went out of the field. We must, as a forward, move as a unit. When the Musa was already in the left side of the field and Aaron was checking, he lives the Palma, why 1-on-1 with the player, I think must be followed asleep in left fullback. He read the play so well, he started moving to his left before he realized he got the ball in his feet. He just walked in.
Right. And we spoke before the game. I was asking what your expectations were. And you were saying about Mosa kind of playing that sort of left to right, getting the ball in for Airy to kind of take the shot. But, I mean, all three of them were on point. I mean, your back line were all disciplined. And like you were saying about that number seven, because you guys were playing...
Henry Bain and the Savannah Glovers, yeah.
Yeah,
that was
Savannah Glovers.
I mean, it was a week before he was the player of the week.
You made them look silly.
Yeah, well, but that's what, I mean, you know what? I don't know if they're silly. It might be, I mean, I expect a little bit more challenge for them. They probably,
right,
you know, get up 4 in the morning, get in the road, and come in here and play. I think he has a little bit things to do with it. Well, we'll see when we go down and play with them. Let's see what kind of reaction we're going to be, what kind of team we're going to be able to end up playing with them.
Right. And go ahead, Alex.
Yeah, I was impressed by the game. I saw the highlights, and the quality of some of the goals was really high. I was impressed.
Well, one other thing we talked about, the guys at 25, 30 yard in, we have the legs and we can make it happen. And we must, if they see the hole, do you think the ball can go through it? I give him a green light to just shoot it. And I mean, they pressure us, but we had the really good ball movement, you know, keep moving the ball and just keep positioning the ball. We really, second half, we really worn them out because of positioning so much they were chasing.
Right.
And the guy Bain you spoke of had a pretty nice goal as well off a free kick.
Yeah, I mean, nothing you can do about that,
right,
one. You
right.
know, but I always, you know, talking to Andy, he said, I was telling the guys, watch this guy, because I know exactly what he was going to do. And I think that Jordan stuck in a little bit to his right.
Jordan was a hero yesterday. I mean, he is. I was saying up in the box, I called him Jordan De Gea.
Yeah.
I mean, he had the foresight. He went in on one challenge, 50-50, got hit in the head. And then, I mean, he was coming out, like it's important for a keeper to kind of own that space. This is my box, and you're not going to get past me. And he was doing that. He was coming out, you know, meeting the attackers. And I mean, yeah, it was awesome.
Well, one of the things we talked about, you know, so important in our training, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, we talked about, I don't care how good you are as an individually, if we don't put those work to as a team, we're going to look really silly up there we need to get together as a team, and then bonded as a team. Let's play as a team. Individuality is not going to get us anywhere.
Right, right.
So yesterday, it was a test for them. Coming out, play individual. I mean, as a team, it was fun to watch, actually.
It was. And I had mentioned this to you earlier on before we went on there, how when Savannah got the ball, it was like three or four of you guys. It seemed like there was 20 of you on the pitch. Yeah. I mean, literally didn't give them the chance to get the ball. Hunting in packs, I call it.
Well, that's one of the things we talked about with the guys. I said, you know, the Savannah cannot hurt us unless they have the ball.
Right.
We must get the ball back fast as we can and play our style of game. And I told them that be careful with the Savannah, what they do. They play a lot of long ball from the back.
Right.
Which is when they do, their number seven is such a free player. Before you know it, they're trying to run him actually three, four times through our back line. With the long ball, but I mean, Ricardo and Colin, and you know, those guys are really stepped up. Jacob and Angel really shut him down.
Yeah.
You seem to have to know a decent amount about your opponents. What do you do to prepare for the games?
Well, we didn't get a lot of chance to watch a lot of the, you know, play or their game because they haven't signed up for the Mojo, whatever it is, online. But I read. And any chance that I get, because Savannah Glovers, I watched him play with Ashland, North Carolina, for friendlies. And I think Ashland won that game 1-0. The guy coming, young kid, a high school kid, actually, coming 85 minutes, scored 88 minutes, won it, beat the Glovers. But I watched a little bit, and I read a lot of the teams and what they do, how they do it, and what is their top players. That's one other thing for manager to do, man.
But there's one player that obviously stood out, and that's Ari De Silva.
Yeah.
And he obviously won one man of the match. And mm-hmm. he scored a brace. Tell us a little bit about who he is. Where does he come from?
Aaron Edwardo, we call him Aaron. I call him a Drogba because he built like Drogba.
Yes.
And he born in Brazil. He played São Paulo about a year. And then went to, I think, Thailand, played 4 years, and then played in South Africa about a year. And he married an American girl, and he moved to Charlottesville. It was just, you know.
Very lucky to.
Yeah, right. It's insane. His talent, I think his leadership. For me as a manager, give him up the leadership band and the captain band is lead this guy. So rest of the guy, you can look it up to him, say, that's what it looked like, being a professional.
Right.
That's what it looked like, a leader. So he could drag those guys with him and step up their games.
A role model for the rest
absolutely.
Of the players. So, I mean, obviously it was a perfect result yesterday. And, you know, we talk about how when you guys were getting everything ready for the league, that's a lot of work. The work started yesterday. However, I always feel that away games are the real test because you're away from home, obviously travel. You were saying, like, with regard, you're playing Atlanta All-Stars this coming Saturday.
Yep.
And anybody that wants to watch Seville can go to their MyKuju page and watch it live.
Yes.
So, I mean, are you guys going to be traveling? I mean, what time are you going to be leaving Charlottesville?
We haven't set a time yet, but I assume that it's going to be a Friday. It may be 1 or 2 o'clock, and we're driving down. And, you know, we're going to drive down as a team. Enjoying our friendship and joining the team and just hang out together, you know, grab some dinner, lunch on the way.
Right.
And just, you know, have a good time. And I don't think we're even going to talk about Atlanta until we get there.
Right, right.
So you guys are on a bus or you guys are kind of carpooling and going in a convoy? What's the plan?
Unless we call Donald Trump, give us an airplane. But no, we're taking a minivan, I think. It's two 16-passenger minivan.
So, I mean, you got your next home game is FC Cardinals here from North Carolina, and it's at 5 p.m. the 24th. And we'll be there.
Yep.
Are you ready? Already preparing for that game, or is it kind of one game at a time, take the away game?
I'm not even worried about Cardinal games, and, we are going to worry about Tuesday. We need to get up in the field, train as a team, talk about what we did right, what the things that we really need to prove. And then we'll talk about the Atlanta game when we go to Atlanta. I don't want to start a boring and worry about the guys when already here, when we got another week to prepare for. But Cardinal, no, I don't know. Lyle County beat him 92, and I watched a little bit some of the highlights, and I don't know. It's, you know, we'll see.
Right.
So what happens after the regular season?
After the regular season, we started playoffs.
So how many teams make the playoffs? Can you
well, be honest with you, I was reading the list that they sent us. They haven't said anything yet for the, how many team going to playoff. I'm hoping, the, you know, around early May, we find out how many teams are going to be in the playoff. Top four, top six, top three, I don't know.
So explain, is it the Eastern Conference you're in? Or
we're Southeast, yeah.
Okay, and how many other teams are in that particular conference?
Well, we had one more team, the Sosa, I think, one of the South Carolina team, they couldn't find a field to play. So that's how the Bronco came in from Concord, North Carolina.
Okay.
So we'll be about six home game and six away. Total seven team in the league.
So technically, if you get through that, get to the playoffs, you'll be playing other teams from other conferences around the United States, right?
I don't know how they do it, brother. As soon as they tell me that's where I'm going to go play or they're going to come here play, my job is to prepare the team. Right. We just go play.
Right. Right. And people can find you online as well. You've got a very strong social presence. Facebook?
Yep. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter.
Yeah, I mean, there was a good crowd yesterday. Make it bigger. Get everyone out there.
I think that when the temperature goes up a little bit, I think we're going to see a lot more people coming out. It was fun. I heard a lot of positive feedback from the fans. It was a great game. The guys are really, truly sound like they've been playing each other about 5-6 years.
How many people came about?
60 or 70, maybe.
More than that.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Awesome.
Yeah, I mean, we're in the right direction. We just, you know, we didn't think that we're going to fill up the stadium right away. We knew it was going to be bad.
And are the games free?
Games are, the adults are $8, a student and a military is $5, and kids are under 12, they're free.
And there's a food truck there, there's activities, and it's at the Charlottesville High School, opposite the Charlottesville High School, at the football stadium.
Yep.
So be there.
Right there off Melbourne Road.
Yep. Right. Come along next Saturday.
Yep.
The 24th.
Yep.
No excuses, Charlottesville. Be there.
Yep.
All right, so let's move on. I want you to stick around.
That's fine.
Have you got the first game, Alex, for the league?
Yeah. I mean, I've got three Arsenal guys right next to me now.
I know, you're feeling a little bit outnumbered.
I feel
right
like
now.
I'm outnumbered here, the Spurs right here. But, first game was the early one. It was Liverpool, the big one, Liverpool at United. What a cracker this one was.
I have this feeling with United, as a United supporter, sometimes the big games I will not watch live. Because I always get the feeling that if I watch it, I'm jinxing it. and this proved my point, right? So I decided I'm not watching it. I'm trying to find other things on TV to watch. My mind is like trying to focus on it. I'm like, it's only 90 minutes. Just look off somewhere else. Play a video game. But I couldn't. So I looked at the score and it said Rashford, right? So then the second goal, Rashford. So I thought, you know, second half, I'll turn it on. Turn it on, and within 15 seconds, own goal by Bally. You know, the other thing, when I watched the Tottenham game, I turned the TV on just to see the who scored against. Was it Kane that scored against United when you guys played within the first, 30 seconds or 20 seconds?
It was Eriksen, I think.
Yeah, I turned the TV on to that game just to see Eriksen running off in the crowd. I was like, oh, yeah. But yeah, I mean,
totally are a jinx. If this is what you're doing, then
maybe I shouldn't be at the Seville FC games.
Well, you know what happened, and Ricardo, I don't know what happened back line, and they had a miscommunication. I think Jordan, he ended up scoring as a nice goal in our own goal.
Yes,
he must be watching the Manchester United game.
I know, but I mean, you know what? The good thing is, it really didn't mean anything. Not quick question with regards to points. Is it like 3 points for a win, 1 point for a draw, 0 points for a loss, right?
Just like
it. Okay, and that's what... Okay,
it's perfect. Not ice hockey where you get two for a win or whatever.
Well, good thing we're not playing ice hockey in the turf.
If it gets any colder, you may be.
Listen, do you remember what I told you guys on the Friday night? When we sit in the conference, I said, hey, I'm confident that our guys is going to win 4-0.
Right.
But happened to 5-2. But if we didn't score the other one, it will be 4-0.
Right. And also one thing that you said that really rang true when we were at the event on Friday night was you're not just playing for the badge, you're playing for Charlottesville. You're playing for the city.
Yep.
So
you got to mean something.
Exactly.
Yep.
All right, so yeah, back to the United game.
Yeah, but I think that this game was a sign to me that the Virgil van Dijk and Lovren partnership isn't what we've been kind of been told. Oh, yeah, they're trying to figure it out. Liverpool, you know, they're in sync. What I saw was that Lovren was playing as the aggressor. He came out and he was challenging Lukaku on both of the long balls that De Gea had out, which is where how both goals started for United. And Lovren lost both of those chances. One, the first was a flick-on header, which kind of set Rashford on for the first one. And the second one, he just bullied Lovren. Lukaku did bullied Lovren off the ball, passed it to Mata, who then it kind of there was a deflection and it came over to Rashford, who it then got clipped again as it was going in. If not, Karius probably would have saved it. But for me. And then it happened a third time after that, where Lovren was guarding Mata and then just stops guarding him, and all of a sudden Mata's behind him, and he plays him on side, and Mata has like a near bicycle kick, nice goal, which goes wide, or nice shot that went wide. For me, Virgil van Dijk and Lovren don't seem to be completely in sync. And for me, I also wonder, is like if you I watch Spurs a lot, obviously, I'm a Spurs supporter. When Endeverald and Vertonghen are playing, usually Endeverald is the aggressor. He's the better of the two in the partnership. It makes me wonder if maybe Virgil van Dijk should be the one that's going out trying to win these headers right. against the big guys out there, having Lovren stay back and play more of that defensive role, almost like a sweeper-stopper kind of thing. And but no, I just it doesn't seem like they've really they're not in sync quite yet.
Right, exactly. I do want to quickly point out, I know you can't stick around for the whole show. You're going salsa dancing?
Of course, I gotta stay loose.
But we do have a phone line.
Yep.
434-284-9470. If you've got any questions for Baron from Seville FC, please do give us a ring. We would love to hear from you. So I'm just putting that out there. But back to the United Liverpool game. Where does this leave United and where does it leave Liverpool now? I mean, this
well,
is
United are up to second and looking good. Not up to
but
second.
How but long for? I mean, that's a home game. United usually play well at home,
United
apart from City.
United haven't lost to Liverpool since like 2014, which is I thought was a crazy stat. I was surprised to see that.
I thought that first half with United was the best that I've seen them all year. I mean, I thought they were way more physical than I'd seen them in a while. The Mata goal, I mean, he could have settled that and scored, but he went a little over the top with the bicycle kick, which sadly went wide.
He did try that at home to Liverpool. No, in fact, it was away to Liverpool 2 seasons ago, 2014-2015, and scored. Mata, he did that famous bicycle kick. I remember that.
But yeah. in the first half, they just—I mean, it stood out to me. It was the most physical I'd seen them, and I don't watch Man United religiously, but they seemed strong. And the way they shut them down in the second half, I was just—it was painful to watch because it was just you knew what they were doing, but they did what they needed to do to close out the game.
But here's what I think about United, right? If they played the first 45 minutes that they did at home against every other team, they would beat them. But they don't. I don't know what Mourinho changed tactics when he plays away from home. He likes to settle back and play more defensive and ends up just parking the bus and stifling people. You know,
I thought McTominay had a great game.
Yes.
He was the partnership
yes.
with Matic in kind of that holding midfielder role. The two of them clogged the middle and made it impossible for Liverpool to play through the center. And Liverpool continued to try to go through the center for some reason instead of going out wide, which is their strength through Mane and Salah. It seemed like Firmino didn't have a great game. He couldn't find Salah on a few runs. There was one in the first half where he clearly picked out the wrong man, and Salah potentially could have been in if he'd made the right pass.
I was predicting that Liverpool's first goal was going to be a penalty kick. It turned out to be an own goal, but I knew that everything they were doing wasn't working.
It was not working, and I think a lot of people were lauding Mourinho for the way he set up the team overall. This is probably one of his better performances, according to many of his critics.
What do you think of them taking Rashford off and putting on Fellaini?
I mean, Rashford hadn't played a full 90 in a while, so I think, and he looked tired, actually, I thought. So I think it was the right play. I mean, what I thought was interesting was that there were talks leading up to the game that should Rashford be on the England team because he hasn't started in forever. And Mourinho said very clearly that he should, and that he'd already had a conversation with Southgate, that and Southgate said, you know, the amount that you start him doesn't change whether or not he's in the squad. Rashford's still young. He's 20 years old. But it was interesting that directly after that question, he starts him, and then he has one of his better performances for United in a big game.
Right. So we'll skip a few of the games, and we'll come back to them, because I know that Bayern, you know, is hanging around for a bit. Arsenal versus Watford. Your beloved Arsenal.
I didn't watch the game.
Oh, okay. Steve?
You'd think you'd get excited. It only makes you more angry. You know, where is this team? Where is this? I ended up irritated. I was like,
give the win. That's.
I mean, Elneny played the best I've seen him play since he's been in an Arsenal jersey.
What do you think of Mkhitaryan?
I'm happy to have him on the squad.
I think him and Aubameyang are gonna form a partnership that'll be strong next season. I think we've got a couple months now to hone in on that.
Right. And I've
said, but it's like, who's going to be the manager?
There was an interesting rumor that said that Arsenal was going to go after Joachim Löw.
I've seen that.
The German manager.
Now.
All right, guys, the time has just gone 20 past 6. We missed our break. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back. I do want to point out, I do apologize to Baron. He told me before that he couldn't watch the game because you were helping somebody move house, right?
Yeah, I was helping my drug bug, you know. Brazilian superstar to move his new house, so start a new life, man. So,
okay.
You got to do
that's
whatever
you got to get in the kids, you know, in their lives.
Yeah.
And make sure that you're supporting them. That's the right move.
Yeah, my kids tell them, say, Daddy, say hi to us. We're listening to you. I say, hi, kids.
All right, so yeah, back to Arsenal.
Well, and the empty seats were noticeable.
Right.
I don't know if you caught that, but it was fun to watch. It was nice to see Cech get his 200th clean sheet in the Premier League. I think he had 11 misses that he was trying to get that
in a row. Yeah, it was kind of crazy.
Yeah, and he stopped a penalty shot, which he hadn't done.
Never happened.
He hadn't shot. It was like decades ago.
Against your boy.
Yeah, Troy Deeney.
Mr. Deeney.
So you think, since you watched the game, let me ask you a question. You think the Arsenal getting a new manager, it will fill up the empty seats?
I don't know.
I mean, it probably depends on the manager, right?
It does.
Well, who left?
Well, let's talk Löw. I mean, is this realistic? Is this something that might actually happen?
Who?
Joachim Löw.
The German national
manager.
Löw? Or Löw is it? Oh, I guess it's debatable how it's pronounced. But go ahead. Is that legitimate? Is that like floating around?
It's been floating around for at least a month, maybe plus now, right? I mean, I've been seeing it for a while now. And
I mean, if you're going to get rid of a legend... You know, Wenger, I think we can all say, is a legend. You've got to come back with someone that's proven, there's no question marks
and
afterwards.
And that's been our problem of finding a replacement.
Yeah, who's it going to be?
That's why he's still at the helm, because, like,
Zidane.
Once Klopp went to Liverpool, that was kind of our ideal replacement.
What about, I was going to say Simeone, but, you know.
Simeone's not going to keep... He's not going to play the Arsenal way. Like,
He plays like Mourinho. He plays defensive.
I don't think that's going to be a good move if it even ever went through, unless, like, Griezmann comes with the deal.
But what if you get Simeone, and maybe it's not pretty, but you get the results? I think you'd be happy with that, no?
Well, you have to get him into Arsenal first, number one. Number two, I think that what Arsenal would be needed truly... Zidane, it will be a good fit for Arsenal. The style that they play with Real Madrid. Real Madrid is not doing too good this year in the
league. They're not in the league, but they look as strong as ever. If you saw the
PSG
game in the midweek, I mean, they absolutely dismantled them. I think Real Madrid are the favorites in the Champions League right now, based on the way they're playing, just in the Champions League. And Ronaldo scoring again. I mean, it seems like they're back to their old ways. Now, I think they've lost the league at this point, just they're so far back.
Yeah, that's probably focusing on the Champions League. But when they, you know, match up with the Bayern Munich, what are they going to happen?
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, that's the only way that Zidane gets fired, basically. Is not only way, but it seems like if
Bayern
he doesn't
can
win...
can put it up on you.
Correct, but I think that overall talent Real Madrid's a step above.
I don't know that he's going to get fired. I think he's going to, with his dignity, he's going to walk away before he gets fired. It makes sense for him. Well,
you know, and I brought this
Special to know that Arsenal is looking at head coach. That'll be a great opportunity for him to just walk away from there.
Yeah, but he may be going, if he leaves, he may not necessarily be, Arsenal may not be top of the list. Even PSG have been maybe sniffing around there a little bit.
Yeah. Well.
So any names, as the manager of Seville FC, any names out there that you would like for your beloved Arsenal?
Yes, I'm available.
Call us at 284-9470 if you're...
that's quite the pay raise there. From Charlottesville to North London. That's what dreams are made of. No, but I've talked, you know, I don't want to talk too much more about this, but I have mentioned, you know, you have been seeing these players go kind of like directly into management where you're kind of like, this doesn't necessarily make sense, but it has worked for time.
Just
so
remember
like
when
you get
Arsenal,
a Thierry Henry,
right,
who's been helping Roberto Martinez with the Belgian national team. You've also got Dennis Bergkamp coaching, you know, in the Netherlands, and it's like eventually it's going to get to a point where it's like Wenger is going to be led through the streets like the French Revolution. He's going to be guillotined. So like who do we put in?
But do you want like a first time guy to be your manager? Like learning the ropes?
Who else is out there then?
Well, Joachim Löw, we're saying.
I mean that's kind of like a long shot.
That's a pipe dream.
Let's go back to where Arsene Wenger came from though. I mean he wasn't an unknown, but he was out in the Japanese leagues, right?
Yeah. I wouldn't want a first-timer. Conte seems like he's going to go back to the Italian national team, but he's clearly going to get cut loose. And I don't think – I'm not convinced Wenger's leaving at the end of this year. I really am not. I think he'll hold on.
I think he's going to be given the option to stay or leave. I don't think they're going to fire him.
Yeah, but he's what age is he now? 60
– But he's signed a two-year contract, so he has another year left. I mean, goals for Arsenal going forward, you got to win Europa League. Let's say you do not win the Europa League and you're out of the top four. That'll be 2 years straight without Champions League. Is that enough to fire a legend, or do you kind of hold on for one more year?
I think the moves they made in the January transfer season were good.
It's a win now mentality for sure.
It depends on how they finish out the season. If they take a huge drop off again, they're too up and down with how they play. It's frustrating. And
we've all seen there can be a certain string of results that it's just like you're done. Like right. I tell my friends all the time that are American sports fans, I'm like, you don't see managers in American sports getting canned after like two or three bad results.
And
very rarely happens.
But like, it does happen in the Premier League.
And I think
it happens all the time. I mean, people are making bets on.
I think today's game was about the players, and that was one thing I wanted to say tonight. And you can see how Mourinho, Pep, and Klopp impose their will on their teams, and Wenger does not seem to be doing that and hasn't seemed to be doing that for a long time. In terms of, I have no idea what Wenger wants this team to be doing. When I look at Liverpool, City, and United, I can tell exactly what their managers want them to be doing.
Right, right.
And Tottenham, as much as it pains me.
They're pretty good, right?
Yeah. Tottenham.
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 That's like the like that one commercial where the guy's like,
yeah,
like the fake coach that's American, the American guy that comes in.
Ted Lasso.
Yeah, yeah.
Jason Sudeikis. Which country are he from?
Wales.
But you know, you country? Look at an Arsenal, or you're thinking about, is it really everything is about Arsene Wenger or just a player? They have a, you know, they don't get along with each other. I mean, eventually Arsene Wenger is not going to get up in the field and play. But when you're training 5-6 days a week and put it in game situation, the guys are not performing. Whose fault is that? What he's putting, what he has.
There were rumors that were going around this week saying that there's discord in the locker room because people are jealous that of some of the high earners. So like Mkhitaryan came in, he's getting the same wage that he had at United, 200 plus a week. Some of these numbers are outrageous. You know, Ozil just signed a new contract. He's is he 300? I don't even know what he got in the end, but
320, I think.
Something crazy. I mean, so like if you're one of the squad players and you're still in the 11, if you're Bellerin, for instance, like you're probably making 100 or something like that. You're not necessarily happy knowing that, hey, maybe you're a better player than this guy. You just play a different position and whatever. You've been here longer. So I think that Byron's right. I mean, you've got to make sure that the team gels and it becomes one. That's probably the most important thing that's going to happen between now and the end of the season is whether they come together or not.
Agreed.
So let's move on, because there was another game in London that caused a lot of discourse with the fans, and that was West Ham versus Burnley. An all-time low for West Ham. I mean, fans were running on the pitch. Somebody went and got one of the, this was during the
corner
game.
Flag.
I mean, what is going on at that? Is this a club that's now in complete free fall down? I mean, it's not that they're getting relegated, but the ownership need to get out of there. I mean,
well, you say it's not that they're getting relegated, but they are just a few points off the drop zone.
Right, but
three
they're
points
not,
off.
Right,
and so I think that the fans are not happy with the board. And they made that abundantly clear during the game, whether they're jumping onto the field, you know, planting the quarter flag in the center of the field. One of them got in a fight with the Noble, the captain. There was another after one of the goals. They all turned around and like looked back at the owner's box, and they were all yelling at him, like pointing at him, and probably throwing stuff as well.
Because they had to leave, didn't they? They had to like leave 15.
Yeah, I mean, it was not safe. It was not safe, and. The response from Noble after the game was, look, we understand your frustration, but let's just stay up for now and stay in the Premier League, and then in the summer let's figure out what's going on with the board. But they're not happy with the new stadium. The stadium is the old Olympic stadium from the Olympics, obviously, and they're just not happy with the whole situation.
I've been trying to learn about it because it surprised me. I hadn't seen anything like that in some time, and yeah, it seems a lot of it is about the stadium, and it's in the same area, but a lot of bars and places that were frequented by it's Bowling Ground.
The old Bowling Ground.
Bowling Ground, and
that was a fortress.
Upton Park, right?
Yeah,
it was Upton Park.
And I've sat it along. London Stadium is basically just the prawn sandwich brigade move in, you know. As Roy Keane once said.
And it just seems like the fans, and if you look at Tottenham, they're building their stadium on their old ground, Arsenal right next door, and this, they moved, and it seems like it's
no identity, and
they've lost something that I can't put my finger on, just I don't live there, but they're clearly upset, and whatever happened this weekend, where the loss and how close they are to the relegation is clearly touching a nerve.
Right. So what is the outcome here, that maybe in the summer the management just get booted out? I mean, is it that simple? Try to find a new owner, or?
Well, I think the one thing to say is that the ground, like the Olympic Stadium, the deal that they got from Boris Johnson, the old mayor of London, is fantastic from a financial perspective. They're basically gifted the stadium. They pay way less rent than they should. They don't have to take care of the grounds. They didn't even have to like renovate it, to do a partial renovation after the Olympics to kind of make it more of a football ground. They've got a sweetheart deal, and if you read The Guardian, they call them Taxpayer FC because it's a sweetheart deal. And if you're the owner of West Ham, there's absolutely no way you're leaving the Olympic Stadium. In fact, there's been a lot of stuff recently where. The current mayor is trying to renegotiate the deal but West Ham are like, we'll go to court. We have like a 99-year lease or something crazy. They're not moving, and the deal, again, is a sweetheart deal. They're not going to do anything. And it's a 3-mile difference. I just pulled it up. And so it's close, but like, hey, you know, that doesn't mean you can go to your favorite bar that you've been going to for years before the game and walk right in. I mean, 3 miles, that's a 60-minute walk, you know.
I mean, the one thing,
they have Uber, but come on. I mean, there's traffic Uber before the games. I mean, it doesn't mean just because, you know, there's a road that, you know, it's just down the street that you can actually make it.
Well, do you want to wait in the summer to fire the guy, or just start to fire him now so you can build on whoever's going to come in?
But I don't think it's they don't want the manager out. They're happy-ish with the manager. They want the board to be changed. They want a complete overhaul of who are the decision makers at the
reshuffle.
Club.
But I mean, I find it ironic, though, that you're saying about how they were gifted the stadium, And they could have used the money that, you know, they have in their back pocket now, that they're not having to spend the same, to buy more world-class players, to bring them in. And it's ironic, I find, that, you know, the fact they've given this undoubtedly... I'm getting my words out. I mean, the stadium is a beautiful stadium. I mean, it's a world-class facility. But it could be their downfall.
Maybe the problem that was the world-class.
Hmm.
Well, you go back to old days and really appreciate what you have, so the guys that might start playing. Listen, if we're going to get a deal like that from the city of Charlottesville, hey, man, what's Seville FC going?
Once again, our number is 2-470. Give us a ring if either you got any Arsenal positions opening or any stadiums.
You want to build a new stadium for Seville FC.
All right, so let's...
We won't complain for anything.
Let's move from one.
Of course, you build it out of Lake Monticello, and then there's going to be a big argument, right?
You never build anything in Lake Monticello because nothing left there.
All right, we have to move on from the West Ham turmoil to the West Brom turmoil, losing once again.
I mean,
to
West Brom,
City.
They started off strong. They scored the first goal with Rondon. It was like, and they were playing at home. It was like, oh wow, okay, maybe there's actually going to be some positive news here for West Brom. But no, then Leicester go and score four goals straight and absolutely dismantle them. Not a good sight for any West Brom fan. Again, they're at the bottom of the league with 20 points, 7 points off of even second place and third place. So they have to get 8 points out of the next. How many games are left? It's what, like 8 games left, I think.
Yeah. I mean, do you think that getting rid of Tony Pulis was probably not the best move, even though they were slipping when he was with them? It's almost like throwing them even deeper into
free
fall.
Well, he's got that magic hat for keeping a team up.
Well, he obviously wasn't doing it this year, but I think that maybe they could have kept with him. You know, like we were talking earlier on, the Premier League just kind of, you're in, you're out, you're out, you're in, you know, if you don't get the results.
Well, what I want to know is, do you fire Pardew and bring in someone else? Because at this point, you're bottom of the league, they're not performing well under him. Do you hit the reset button a third time?
Well, who are you going to bring? You know, funny thing is, the Crystal Palace finds the one manager, the guy's at the bottom of the pile, brings the same guy up and drops the team. So
you could bring in Silva, right? The old Watford coach?
Oh.
I don't know what to do with them. I mean, I think they're going down. And
yeah, so if you're going down, you might, why not, like, use the last hand you have in your, like the last card in your hand, which is fire Pardew and just try it with someone else, because it's not working with him, right?
I mean, they did it with Newcastle, right, with Benitez. I mean, he pretty much, I mean, obviously, he stuck with him in the championship and brought him back up.
He did, and I'm still impressed with that, but who are they going to get?
Right. I know that Van Gaal was sniffing around Swansea. He wanted to get back in the Premier League. I mean, I think it was mainly to get back at United, but I'm not sure how much was actually in that
talk. I wouldn't, if I'm Van Gaal, I would not take this job right now.
West Brom Raisins? I believe that's what you said. I'm all right, guys. The time is 6:40. We will be right back. All right, guys. Welcome back. So let's move on to Newcastle versus Southampton. Newcastle pulling a result out. I did not think they would beat Southampton. I really didn't.
I kind of expected them to at home. But, I mean, Shelvey coming back, he had a great game. He got things started off early. He had the assist on the first one where he just kind of throws it up to Kennedy, who does a really nice chest to himself and then scores, semi-scuffs it, but scores. But I thought Shelvey was the player of the game, even though Kennedy had two goals. And the second one was not too long afterwards on a counterattack from a Southampton corner where... it looked pretty dangerous, and then there was a chance for the Southampton guy to take a shot after it was cleared from the top of the 18, and he completely slips, and then the break was on, and it was some unselfish play from Gale to pass it over to Kennedy for just a tap-in at the end there. But, yeah, I mean, I thought it was a comprehensive beatdown in the end for Newcastle over Southampton.
So where are Newcastle then? Like, are they clear? I mean, are they good?
Well, they're the bottom three right now. It's with Stoke City, West Brom, and 27 points. I mean, West is gone. West Bromwich is gone. I mean, there's no way you can do about it. But Stoke City, Crystal Palace, I just wonder what happened to Southampton. Southampton last year, he was pushing for Euro League, and he sold, they sold a lot of the players that made good amount of money.
Virgil van Dijk, of course, left, and then there were a few others that are, they're always selling. They're a selling club. I mean, they're the definition of a selling club, right?
Well, if you're selling and staying up, then something is working.
Yeah, but are they going to stay up, I guess, now, right? Because right now they're just 1 point above the relegation zone.
Well, let's see who they're playing next week.
Well, and I think they're going down. And some just doesn't seem right there. I've watched Southampton year over year, and there's something that seems missing on that squad. I'm not sure, but but truthfully, I'm surprised Newcastle's not higher in the table because they – and maybe it's just because when I watch them, they seem very good, and they were very impressive this weekend.
Right. I agree. All right, so Huddersfield versus Swansea.
This one was a little bit of a snoozer. I think the only talking point was the red card that happened early on. IU got the red card, but you could argue it could have gone the other way. It was a very weird kind of tackle. It was 50-50. IU's cleat came in high, around knee high, but as he's doing that, he's also getting trod on by the guy that he's taking out. So I was kind of surprised it was a red card, but in the end, 0-0, not much to talk about.
And would VAR do anything with that? Because they said this is why we need, I mean, I heard a thing, this is why we need VAR, but VAR, would VAR turn that around?
Yeah, I mean, any red cards, I believe, are up for review.
Because I didn't think it was a red card.
I didn't think it was a red card either.
What's your opinion of VAR?
I think I'm looking forward to it. Everyone's going to scream bloody murder, but
we were talking about this last week. It killed the continuity of the Spurs Rochdale game, FA Cup. Yeah. I mean, you're going to have games like this where, and I'm pro VAR, but after seeing that, I was like, wow, that's as low as it gets. And so I think there is a dark side of it.
And there's a dark side of not having it. I mean, some of the offsides calls are horrific, and I don't know if it would have turned it around. I mean, I go back to the penalty called on Arsenal, the handball against, I don't know if it was Ramsey, and again, I don't know if that would have gotten overturned.
Was it West Brom?
It was someone. The guy was 3 feet away, and
it was Gibbs on Chambers.
It was awful.
West Brom game.
And again, there's just some really bad calls that are decisive and would get turned around, specifically the offsides calls.
So I'm for VAR, but I can recognize like what Alex was saying, like it didn't look good, especially when the crowd, you know, when you go crazy when your team scores, but then you're kind of, it goes in, you're like, oh, well, did it go in? And then you have to wait around for a few minutes. And then it's just up on the board. Oh, yeah, it was a goal. But it loses that moment of specialness. You know, that's my thing about it.
And I know it's not comparable, but the technology of whether the ball is in or is not in the net is unbelievable. And VAR is going to have complications as it comes in. And it's going to be
a bit rusty.
It's going to mess up some games. But I think on the whole, it will eliminate some horrific calls.
Byron, what do you think of VAR? I mean, do you think it's something that is going to destroy the game, or is it...
I don't know. So I'm not going to make anything in the comments, but I don't know.
Just going to wait and see.
Yeah. But I think it could be good, it could be bad, but we can say whatever we want when everything comes to play. If it's not working, then...
Take it then.
You know?
Right. So, I mean, we were talking last week. Was it the FA have already decided they're going to run with it?
I know that FIFA is running with it for next year or this year for the World Cup. It's not in the Champions League, and I'm not sure if it's going to be in the Premier League next year.
Well, I think they should try that thing in the Champions League or UEFA Cup this year before taking the World Cup.
And, right.
You know what I'm saying? Do a test run before, don't just take it straight to the World Cup. And the people say, what the heck is going on?
I mean, I think they're treating this VAR and the World Cup like the World Cup's a side project. No, the World Cup is the biggest tournament on the planet. You mess up that,
yep.
You know.
So let's see where it goes. Let's see who's going to take the blame for that.
Yeah, I saw a thing about it. They're actually doing, they're the referees that are going to be in the World Cup are doing practice games where it's U23 or whatever. It's not super competitive games, but they are practicing, learning when to use VAR, the process. They're trying to eliminate the kinks But I think it's inevitable that something is going to go wrong, and there's going to be a pretty big talking point of VAR, the process, not necessarily VAR, the end product, but it's going to be the process that's going to be not well received.
Well, what's going to happen? These referees, are they going to carry iPhones so they can instant replay so they see what happens?
Well, they can take selfies, don't they? You know,
I like that.
There's different ways to do it. Some, the referee literally goes and looks at like a TV near the fourth official. There's others where there's almost like a fifth official who makes the decision for the referee. I like that way more. So the referee, you don't need to watch him run over to the side of the field and waste however many seconds it takes for that. I think in the end, that's what they do in the NFL now. It's just the decisions are made in New York, and it's just one set of people making decisions. What they don't do very well in the NFL is that they've started to hyper-analyze it and not reverse only the calls that are obvious. They've started to say, well, that one, I think, you know, 51% of the time, I'm going to call that a catch or not a catch. That's where, or you know, or a goal or not a goal or offsides or whatever it is, you know, in soccer. That's where I think you're going to run into trouble, is if you're not only overturning the ones that are clear and obvious. And so that's where I think the judgment will be made, because that's where it is in the NFL.
And there's a big, and with the NFL and with VAR, it's real time versus watching it on TV slowed down in minute seconds. And, you know, in the end, I think it will make for better calls. It's just a question of the process of it and you know, getting that right.
Right.
So then that last year, I think it was they're trying it for the baseball right as a strike zone, and everybody said, hey, we don't want that. Because it wasn't strike, called a strike, then people get irritated. Why in the world sitting behind the camera telling them it's a strike? Let the game play the way they should be played.
Right, it's not rugby where it's stop.
Yeah.
Soccer's more free-flowing.
Well, you know, there is nothing mistake-free. Even the guys that are looking at the monitor in the NFL and everything else, they're still not getting right. So what bothered? Don't kill the game. I mean, this game, still moving, everybody play. Yeah, it's going to happen. There's no way you can stop it.
Exactly. All right, so let's move on. Everton versus Brighton. Everton getting a good result today, or yesterday.
Walcott with a goal.
Well,
he's been playing really well since he came from Arsenal.
So is Chamberlain. And everybody seems to play better when they get away from Wenger. Or somewhat better.
That's a telling statement that you're playing better when you're not with your coach. It should be the opposite, right?
Well, when it started with Ramsey at the Euro. 2 years ago, Ramsey played incredibly well with Wales.
Well, you think that maybe Aston Wenger or the player didn't have enough trust on him. He said, coach, you know what? I'm going to leave, go somewhere else. I can really prove you what I'm capable of doing when you let me play the position I like to play, or just cut me free so I can show you what I'm capable of doing in the free.
Right.
So, I mean, we'll see.
But, I mean, we can give Arsenal all the stick in the world about players not playing well underneath the manager. But, I mean, that happens occasionally. Managers sometimes. I mean, Pep has probably got players that have, you know, didn't work well under him. Mourinho, obviously, people talk about Pogba being stifled. You know, so, I mean, it does happen.
And Sanchez hasn't looked good there so far, but we'll see.
We'll see.
Woo. Woo. But Tosin gets the second one. I mean, Byron, I mean, what are your thoughts on him?
Who?
Tosin. The guy from Besiktas.
Jack Tosin. I mean, Jack Tosin is a great player in Turkey. I mean, pretty much had every single game had a goal. But just like you have to feed the guy from crosses, such a good high ball header in front of the 18, inside 18, such a deadly player. You got to keep feeding the kid. I mean, you know. But if you don't, then if he doesn't score, then you're not going to be successful as a team, or if you don't score, you're not going to win.
And he's had a couple goals recently. He's had 6 appearances, 2 goals, but most of those coming recently. It seems like he's somewhat turned the corner, and the goal he scored yesterday was really nice, really well taken.
Listen, scoring a goal, English EPL, it's not easy. It's surely not, because think about teams are spending billions of dollars just getting defender, not that thing to happen. You find a guy, the 27 million euro come here, just doing it here and there. A success for the club who got him.
Well, he's 2-2, and yep. I'm sure Allardyce and the rest of the Everton supporters want to keep on seeing him, you know, continue that run and continue to score throughout the rest.
I think the last week Sam Allardyce pulled him out. I think the fans started booing him off the stand. Why in the world are you taking the guy out?
Right.
So they just want to know what's going on.
All right, so moving on, Chelsea versus Crystal Palace.
Where are Chelsea this year?
They're up and down like a yo-yo.
They're fifth right now, officially. I mean, I think that's a fair question is, are they a top four squad? They are winning the league just, what, last year? 2 years ago? When was it? Last year, yeah.
Yeah. It's funny that, isn't it? Like, they won the league last year.
You almost forget the fact that it's they're a different squad now, it seems like.
I was upset that my man crush, Giroud, did not assert himself as the starter this weekend.
He hit the post. Yeah,
yeah. You're married to a Chelsea fan. That must get awkward with the fact that Giroud's moved.
And she smiled when I said that. But something's clearly wrong there. And it's almost like they came out to play the first half and they mailed it in the second half. I mean, I wouldn't say they're lucky. They clearly deserve the win, but you know, giving up that goal at the end and even having it in question was ridiculous.
So, I mean, are they going to finish in top four? Do you think anyone?
Well, Chelsea?
Yeah.
No.
So funny they won last year.
I'm telling you right now. I'm just looking at the scoreboard, and Man City. It's already just give him the trophy. Put him second unit in. Just let the guys play, learn something else. Man United. And Tottenham, I think they will finish probably third place. Liverpool in the fourth.
So you think United can sustain a second spot?
Third. Yeah.
And who did you say was second?
No, Manchester United will finish second, and Tottenham will be in the third place.
So where do you think Arsenal will finish as an Arsenal supporter?
Arsenal is going to stay where they are. They're going to Euro.
So as long as you finish above Chelsea, right?
Oh, yeah. I don't think they're going to win past Chelsea. So there's no way.
Next week is FA Cup games. Then there's an international break. And after that, Spurs, Chelsea, that may go a long way to determining who is in the top four between those two squads. A six-pointer on the top of the table, one we haven't, you know, I guess we saw the Liverpool game today, which was like that. But this one's really going to be a big one. And so right now, Chelsea are 5 points off the pace in terms of the top four. So they need the win. Spurs obviously playing pretty well.
Yeah, let's get to the Spurs.
Well, next week is at Man United, the Swansea.
Right, I can see Swansea giving us a right thumping.
Tottenham will play with Southampton.
That's not next week. That's in 3 weeks. Next week is Tottenham, Swansea in the FA Cup. You're right. The next Premier League game is United against Swansea, but there's 3 weeks in between. So. Let's move on to the Spurs game because you know that's why everyone's been
waiting. That's why we're all here.
That's why we're here. Yeah.
Thank you, Byron, for being patient so we can listen to him and his love gush of.
We're gonna beat him up outside out back.
I guess you're not getting a ride home, huh?
Hey, that's why they have an Uber.
Honestly, it was a tough week for any Spurs fan. The Juve game was really rough. Spurs were the better squad for 80 plus minutes of that game, and 3 minutes they let in two goals, and it was just disarray in the back.
In the late 60th minutes,
it was disappointing overall. They hit the post with a Harry Kane header later on, and it was. You could argue whether the right team went through. Ultimately, the Champions League is about scoring goals, and Spurs obviously didn't score as many goals as them 4-3.
Evidently, did the right team went through
for the first 80 minutes. But yet you let two goals in the 64th and 67th minutes. How did you dominate?
I'm saying
lose two goals?
80 plus minutes of the game cumulatively, not from a 80th minute on is where we lost the game. I mean, we were on the front foot basically the entire game, and you could argue that we didn't take our chances in the first half, but we didn't. We were almost naive in that we were playing too much on the front foot, trying to get more goals instead of playing maybe more pragmatic. I'm not saying park the bus, but playing in a more defensive, cohesive shape. The goals that were scored against Juventus that they had, the first one was pretty nice. The second one was incredibly nice by Dybala. I mean, and I started watching the afterwards. I couldn't help but start watching the Netflix Juve series, which is actually really good if you haven't seen it. So check that out. But it was bittersweet watching Dybala just in the first few episodes just crushing it in Serie A, and just each one was like a dagger reminding me of the game that I'd been watching previously.
So what did you make of the game today?
I mean, it was, wow. Okay, so Kane gets injured, and so I think that's the big question for England, for Spurs, for everybody. How major is the injury? How long is he going to be out?
It looked horrible.
I don't know about horrible.
No, I watched it, and I was like, eh.
His ankle turned. It was a shot, goal, disallowed goal because of an offsides, but his leg got stuck underneath Begovic's. It definitely turned. He walked off the field, limped off the field in the end. It looked like he's going to be out for. That's why I was saying like the 3 week stretch here, playing against Swansea next week. You know, you could probably play Uente against his old squad, and then maybe he sits for the England games. You could have a 3 week break for him and probably not do much damage. But anyway, yeah, I mean, moving on, like right after he came off, Dele scores his first goal in like 15, 16 games or whatever it was. And then Son scores a couple and Aurier gets one later. I thought Spurs showed great resolve in the way that they responded because Bournemouth scored the first one and they looked like the better team the first 10, 15 minutes without a doubt. They looked like they were faster, stronger, winning all the 50-50 balls. But Spurs responded just like they did in the first leg against Juventus where they got down, you know, this week, Wenger said that Arsenal responded like a boxer, getting up and kind of off the mat and punching against AC Milan. I think that's probably a fair analogy for the Spurs
Alex,
team.
I know you want to keep going for the next, like, well, as long as you can possibly talk about Spurs. But that's about it for this week. I want to thank Byron from Seville FC. Don't forget to check him out this weekend on My Kuju, Atlanta All-Stars. Kickoff to be announced, and you can find that on Facebook next Saturday, the 24th, 5 p.m. kickoff. And it's FC Cardinals.
FC Cardinals.
At the Charlottesville
High School.
Please be there. $8 you're saying for tickets.
$8 for adults, $5 for students and military, and 12 and unders are free.
I want to thank you very much for coming into the studio tonight.
Thank you all,
best
guys.
Of luck
invite
Yeah. Best of luck for this
Good
weekend.
Good luck on the salsa dancing.
Oh, I'm going to have fun tonight.
All right, guys. Have a great weekend.
You too.
You've been listening to Blokes on the Bench with your host, Andy Richardson, on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville. Join us again next Sunday at 6 for another edition and feed us back at facebook.com/blokesonthebench.